We know that he's here with us. Father, you're here with us. And we reverence your presence. We welcome your presence in our service here today. Hallelujah. And now, Father, everyone that's listening, I pray that they will have ears to hear, those that are present and those that are watching the live stream. I pray that they will have ears to hear and a heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. I invite you, dear Lord, to think through my mind, speak through my mouth. This is not my business, this is your business. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father, for the anointing to minister your word. And Father, we'll all give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. All right. Hallelujah. I want you to turn in your Bible to Romans, the 15th chapter. Romans, the 15th chapter. And I'll just begin reading at the first verse here. It says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." Amen. Which means then that we don't try to please our neighbor just for what they want, but it should be for their good and things that's going to magnify the Lord. Amen. For example, if your neighbor come and ask you to buy him a pint of liquor, you don't need to do that. Amen. Amen. Now, a pint of liquor would probably please them, but that's not God's will for you to do that. But it, as it says, we the strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach me, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through, now first four is really where we're going here. So let me read it again. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. See that? Hallelujah. And of course, verse 5 goes on to say, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus." But now I want to tell you something here. We are supposed to be in a place of comfort. Hallelujah. Now I know we're already into the second year. Second week of 2022. But I hope you will make the decision that this is going to be a year of victory for you, a year of comfort for you, because the devil is the devil and God is God. Amen. And so we see here once again in verse chapter 4, let me read it again. It says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning." We're talking about the word of God here, all right? "That we, through the patience and comforts of the scriptures, might have hope." Hallelujah. In all my ministry, in all the years of pastoring this church, and I've been pastoring this church quite a number of years now. Amen. Be 36 years this year. One of the things that I've always tried to do and endeavored to do is to always point you back to the Word of God. You hear me? Always point you back to the Word of God. Why do I stress that so much? I stress it because there are so many things out here that's fighting for your attention, screaming at you, saying, "I'm important, I'm important, I'm important. You better listen to me or you're going to die, or you better do this or you're going broke," or, you know, all kind of things just screaming for your attention. And all of it pulls you away from the Word of God and from the promises of God. But we see here in verse 4 again, now I want us to take another look at it before we move on. We see here in verse 4, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience," you hear that? You see that? Not everything changes at a split second. "But through the patience and comfort." See, brothers and sisters, we should take comfort in the scriptures. We should take comfort in what God has said, even if we don't feel like it, even if it doesn't look like it. God has so designed this thing that whatever comes down the pipe, we can still be have a life of comfort in Him. Now, that doesn't relieve us of our responsibilities as Christians. We still should be praying every day. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things going on in our world now that it's going to take some prayer to change these things. I'm not talking about that. But even when you're in the face of God interceding, on the inside you have the peace and comfort of God, because you know that the Word of God always prevails. Always. Amen. Jesus said, "Before any of His word fail, heaven and earth would pass away." Well, I believe it's still here, don't y'all? Amen. And it's not going anywhere until Jesus get ready to change it. Which means the Word of God will never change and it will never fail us. Amen. So my subject, if you need one, is a time of comfort for us and a time of stability. A time of comfort and a time of stability. God wants to use each and every one of us, but he can't use us if we're all over the place. Full of faith today and full of doubt tomorrow. Up today, down tomorrow. He wants us to be stable. When it's sunny outside, stable. When it's cloudy outside, stable. When the winds are blowing. Some of you, I know, remember this. I woke up the other night. What was this? Was this Sunday night or Monday night? Was it early Monday morning? Man, I was sleeping good. And all of a sudden, I heard all this noise. And I woke up, and the wind was blowing. Oh, my goodness, was it blowing. I didn't know what was going on outside. You remember what I said? And went back to sleep. It was a brief prayer. I said, in the name of Jesus. Went back to sleep. Well, if Jesus can sleep in a storm, I guess I can imitate him, can't I? Glory to God. I think I told y'all this story one time. I was down here during the week, and the tornado warning's out, and man, all of a sudden, the wind just started blowing here, and I was looking outside under the carport, and shingles started flapping, and things was getting ready to get wild. Well, I couldn't stand there and not say nothing. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to cease. Of course, y'all wasn't there, so I don't guess you have to believe me, but I'll tell you, it ceased. Now, why do I say that? Because I'm so big and bad, or I'm so holy, and I'm holier than thou. And no. Matter of fact, Jesus told us to come to him like little children, and little children believe what daddy tells them. And so little children act on what daddy said. That's called childlike faith. I mean, I could stand here and watch this church be annihilated or partially. I mean, I wait around to see what the end was going to be. But I do know over the years you've put a lot into this place, you're giving to help build this place, and I don't believe God wanted it destroyed. Hallelujah. So I just use childlike faith. I ain't trying to be puffy, or I don't even want you to look at me like I'm super spiritual. Just childlike faith. Amen. Well, you might have said, well, Pastor, I wouldn't have handled it that way. I'd have did it this way. Well, you're smarter than I am. I just have to trust what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. Well, let's move on. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. This is important for all of us. If we're going to be stable, we've got to understand our times. We must understand our times. Now, understand something. We are the people of God. We're God's people. And we have to understand our times. I love this in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. David was assembling himself an army. And I won't read through this whole thing, but let me see. I'm just trying to decide here where I want to pick this up. Well, anyway, he was assembling himself an army, and that army included the sons of Issachar. Now, if you look at verse 32, it says something about the sons of Issachar that blesses me. It says, of the sons of Issachar, and these guys were being selected as part of David's army. It says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times. You see that? Who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. You see that? Hallelujah. Now, let me stop right there. What am I saying to you? If we are going to be stable, you know, we've got to stay in the Word of God. We got to hear the Word of God. We got to do the Word of God. But as a church, we need to have an understanding of what God wants us to do and what we should be doing. How many of you know, and all of you know this, this is not a hard question, but how many of you know how to cook a cake? Raise your hand high. Be proud of yourself. If you know how to cook a cake, raise your hand high. Amen. Now, if you notice, mine's not up, so I thank you very much. We all know that if you cook a cake, it's not a cake unless there are ingredients. You know, you have to have some eggs, some butter, sugar, that's important. Flour, flavor, baking powder. Okay, well, y'all going through it. All righty. But without those ingredients, you're not going to have, you may have a cake, but it's not going to be worth eating. My point I'm making to you right now that if we're going to have victory in our lives, we must have the ingredients for victory. And this Bible right here gives us the ingredients, everything we need to be victorious. And we can know what we need to be doing in any given situation. These young men was full of wisdom, and they understood the time. They understood what they should be doing. We as a church need to know what we should be doing. And I don't have time to go into all of that right now because there are other things I want to get across to you. I'm probably not going to finish this today. Thought I would, but I probably won't. But it's not the time for us to be fearful. There's a work of God that must be done. Look, turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Y'all listening to me this morning? How many of you know nothing gets past God? In other words, he's not surprised by anything. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. I'm just going to begin reading. See, Jesus foretold everything that we deal with. He already prophesied it. He said it was going to happen. In Matthew 24, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" Verse 3. "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what would be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" Now, if you're reading King James Bible, it says the end of the world. Hallelujah. But really, it's the end of the age. That's what it is, the end of the age. So he says, they're asking him, what are the signs of all this? "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no man deceive you.'" Now, you ought to grab a hold of that one right there. If it's not underlined in your Bible, go ahead and underline it. I am finding, oh my Lord, there are too many Christians falling for deception. And one of the reasons they fall for deception is because they get bored with what they've been taught. So they're looking for something new. You better be careful when you start looking for new stuff. You see these 66 books right here? This is the Word of God. Get in here and learn this book. Amen. Learn how to rightly divide it. But we are living in a time now when folks, just some folks, thank God, not all folks, but, you know, tell me something new. You know, like I was teasing you earlier and told you that, you know, I have a deep revelation for you. Well, I know you folks, because y'all been around me for a lot of years. Y'all didn't fall for it. You knew where I was going, or had an idea, but some folks, when you say deep revelation, all their antennas go up, because they want something deep. Me, I want the truth. Amen. Amen. And don't get me wrong, yes, there are deeper things of God. There are deeper things of God. But you need to treat it like the old folks did back in the day, excuse me, when you dug wells by hand. You didn't automatically get to the water. You had to dig your way there. Now, some of you didn't catch that. Some folks want the deeper things, but they too shallow to handle the deeper things. Amen. Amen. Kind of like some of you weightlifters. Do I have any weightlifters in here? Weightlifters? No weightlifters? All right, we got one weightlifter, two weightlifters. I'm not going to embarrass y'all by asking you how much you lift. But I will say this much. If you can't lift 100 pounds, why would you go over to the 500-pound weight? You're going to hurt yourself. Y'all still with me? You're going to hurt yourself. Because you're not ready for the 500-pound weight. You need to work out on the 100-pound and then move on to the 125 or the 150 or whatever and work your way up. So what am I saying? If you want the deeper things of God, dig into the Word of God. Work your way there. Amen? You don't build a mansion on a shallow foundation. Okay, y'all still, where did I stop reading? Verse 4. All right, Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you, please. Verse 5, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Christ means the anointed one. So there are many down through the generations that have come, and they call themselves the anointed one, not necessarily Jesus, but they call themselves the anointed one. I am the one that God sent. You know, I am your Savior, so forth. And Jesus said, hey, these folks are coming. Just be ready for it. They're coming. And he was right, wasn't he? They came, they went, and guess what? They're still coming. And some are on the earth right now, claiming to be the Savior. Well, there's only one. His name is Jesus. Can I get an amen on that one? Hallelujah. So verse 5, many will come in my name saying I am the Christ and will deceive many. And he goes on to say, listen to this. This is what I want you to pay attention to. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not what? Huh? Remain stable, Jesus is saying. Remain stable. Keep your head on straight. Stay in my word. He went on to say, for all these must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Listen to this. And there will be famines. Y'all know what famines are, right? Scarcity of food. There will be famine. pestilences, that word pestilence, the Greek word for it is loimos, L-O-I-M-O-S, which simply means plague. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah. Jesus knew about COVID-19 before it was ever formed. And he told us it was coming. And of course, there have been many other plagues coming down the pipe. But Jesus is telling us, don't lose it. Don't panic. That's what people without hope, that's what they do. We have hope. We have a Savior. Amen? Anybody know that song? Oh, man, I don't know the title of it. That song was, it's a nice song. But it goes something like this, just, oh, man, I'm trying to get, we have a Savior, and he's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Oh, he's sweet, I know. I don't know the rest of the word. Storm clouds may rise, may winds may blow. I, the world, wherever I may go, I found a Savior, and he, sweet I know. We'll stop right there. We need to remember that. Storm clouds may rise. Stormy winds may blow. But I found the Savior. And he is sweet, I know. Hallelujah. What's the title of that song, sister? He's sweet, I know. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, yeah, y'all still with me? Yeah. Look, our Savior, our Lord, he knows about all of this stuff. And he knows where his people is. And he wants his people to trust him, stay in his word, and don't panic. Because when you panic, you're just like that little squirrel that can't decide which side of the road they want to be on when they see you coming down the road in your vehicle. And they bouncing back from one side to the other, one side to the other, and finally you hear that plunk. When they should have went on. Just get out of the way and keep moving. You still here? I say, are you still here? Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Oh, my goodness, this is, I read on a little further. There's some other things I want to tell you, but should the Lord tarry, we'll have another time, all right? So, all righty. So, verse 7 again, for nation will rise against nation, in kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Is that the truth? All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We're talking about the Jews now. Haven't we seen that happen? And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Here we go again. Then many false prophets will rise up and do what? Deceive many. I mean, you know, that word many there really concerns me, but Jesus prophesied it and it is happening. It has happened and it is still happening today. Oh, now look at verse 12. See if you can relate to verse 12. And because of lawlessness, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of what? It didn't say a few, did it? The love of many will grow cold. Stay fired up for Jesus. But if you're going to stay fired up, you got to stay around the fire. Make sure you don't become cold and indifferent. Don't just let some little small penny ante something offend you and then you decide, I'm just going to walk away from the church or I'm going to walk away from God. I'm here to tell you right now, and every one of you know this, not everything's going your way. You know, I try real hard. Seriously, folks, I try real hard to be a nice guy. I mean, I just like being nice. Nice is so much better than just being the other. Just being nice and loving and sweet and kind and, you know, because that's the way Jesus is. And that's the way he was when he was on the earth. But no matter how nice I try to be, at some point I'm going to do something, say something, whatever, that's going to rub somebody the wrong way. I mean, that's just life. And especially if you're a preacher or a pastor. The Lord uses me, and I'm standing up here preaching, or wherever it is I might be preaching, and of course I pray my little prayer that I'm very sincere about. Lord, think through my mind, speak through my mouth. You know, I want every word to come out of my mouth to be words that you are pleased with. And as sure as I say that, and I'm in the process of my preaching, I say something, steps on somebody's toes, make them mad. They're ready to blame me. Don't blame the messenger. But then if I'm going to do my job, I got to do that. God didn't call me to please men or women. Let me say that again. God did not call me to please men or women. He called me to please him and to walk in love with my fellow brothers and sisters and do whatever I can to be a blessing to them. But I'm called to please God. Hallelujah. So that's the reason I have to preach the Word of God. See, I have to preach the Word of God. I'm not called to preach the word of Kathy or the word of Pat, the word of Ronnie, the word of Mildred, word of Shalon, word of Mike, word of Rose. I can go on and on. No. I'm called to preach the word of God. Amen. So where do some of these people get mad at you? That's not my problem. Folks will try to make it your problem, but that's something they need to take up with God. Because if you go to the Word of God, and what I'm saying line up with the Word of God, don't get mad at me. And one of the things I've tried to endeavor to do throughout my whole ministry is not preach at people. As a pastor, you get to sit down with people. You hear about their issues. And that's part of our job. But my job is not, after I leave my office or wherever I am, not to come and oh yeah, they're in church this morning, and start preaching at them. We're told to be led by the Spirit of God, not by our own feelings or emotions. But it happens sometimes. It happens. But I want to set the record straight here. If it ever seemed like I'm preaching at you, just look up and say, Lord, I hear you. Amen. Because I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching the Word of God. Hallelujah. And it can feel that way. Believe me, I've been in the audience, or congregation, or whatever, and over the years when folks have preached, I thought, ouch, Lord, that hurts. They stepped on my toes. But you know what? I couldn't get mad at the messenger. I had to change me. Hallelujah. Well, I'm still got to move on, Donna. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all tell me, where'd I stop at again? All right, we're having fun, aren't we? Now, verse 12 again says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Right now, I'm just trying to think, in my 71 years of living, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot happen in this nation. But I want to say right now, it's pretty bad. Lawlessness. Lawlessness. And Timothy told us in the last days, this would be happening. People be falling away from the faith. Jesus said, love of many would grow cold. But said many will fall from the faith. Lawlessness will abound. Listen, right is still right, wrong is still wrong. Let me say that again. Right is still right, wrong is still wrong. God still, y'all listening to me? God still expect his people to live holy. Some people use grace as an excuse to do crazy and dumb stuff. That's not the purpose of grace. It's to give us a reason to sin and do our own thing. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his amazing grace. But that doesn't give me a license to just live any kind of way. The Word of God tells us to be ye holy, God says, because I am holy. Yeah, but you know, this is 2022 and times have changed. People think different. That's the problem. They're not thinking. Their minds are not renewed. Hallelujah. I got to move on. Am I still at verse 12? But whatever you do, don't allow your love for God to grow cold. Jesus asked the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? People that are walking with him, people that love him, people that love one another. Amen. Glory to God. y'all see me. I could go another half hour. I'm not going to do it. So I'll end it this way. Live holy. Walk by faith. Walk in love. Hallelujah. And everything that's different is not God. And as you know, I'm closing really. And you see, I've closed my Bible. But as you know, I don't do a whole lot of things different. One thing I want to do is pray and make sure that I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I want our church membership and attendance to grow. Amen. Thank God for the faithful people that we have. Don't get me wrong. But I want our attendance to grow. My wife says some things that blesses me, and it's so true. Whatever you do to get them, I'm talking about people now, whatever you do to get them, you're going to have to keep doing to keep them. I hope y'all followed that. Amen. So if you compromise to get them, you're going to have to continue to compromise to keep them. That's what I'm getting at. But we got to tell the truth. And we got to live holy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word.